Good morning and welcome this morning to It's Your Money. I am Jean Osley, founding partner of Anchor Financial, a Raymond James affiliate. And we're joined by our co-host, David R. Thierman, tax, estate, and nursing home attorney, an all-around good guy. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Jean M. Osley. Good morning, Holly. You're listening to It's Your Money. I am David R. Thierman, tax, estate, and nursing home attorney. Jean M. Osley, in the financial field for a few years. Holly, our producer, been doing this for years. And we're here for you, and it's the holiday edition, Jean.
Yes, it is. Christmas is coming, and Hanukkah, and oh my goodness, Hanukkah's upon us.
Yeah, the seventh night of Hanukkah, Jean.
Right.
Christmas is around the corner, and my wife told me to be very festive, okay?
Just don't sing.
So she said, don't sing, but be festive and upbeat. So I said, okay, Angela, I'm going to tell, you know, I'll tell everyone it's the seventh night of Hanukkah, Christmas is around the corner, we have New Year's coming up, and we live in New Jersey, pretty much heard on the East Coast. We're also on the internet around the world, but pretty much on the East Coast, the show, right, Jean?
Yes, absolutely.
So I can be festive. The answer is we live on the East Coast because California, the gas tax is about 33% higher than New Jersey.
Oh, boy.
California, the income tax is higher than New Jersey. See, Jean, we're all festive, okay?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Now we have to do this really quick. But New Jersey has the highest property taxes in the nation, and New Jersey tolls are the highest in the nation. But California has higher income tax and gas tax. Mm. So we should be festive on the East Coast, okay, Jean?
Yeah.
By the way, if you're going out to California because the gas tax is 20 cents more, you should get a bicycle.
Yeah, just here's a thought. Just don't go to California.
Yeah, stay in New Jersey, okay?
Mm-hmm.
South Jersey.
Mm.
We're here for you. So that's the festive holiday spirit.
Well, if that's all you got...
how's everything on your side of the coin, Wall Street and such?
Everything's pretty good. You know, again, we're looking for a decent year next year. You're going to start to see when you start filing your taxes, the results of the one big beautiful bill that was passed recently. And actually over the summer it was passed. But there's a lot going on that we're going to start to see reflected in our tax returns. Pardon me. So not immediately, but, you know, when you start to get into February, March, April, it's going to be reflected. So, you know, what you should be doing right now, we still have a week left to do this. Well, a few more days than a week, but markets close at 1 o'clock on Christmas Eve and then closed all day Christmas Day. The New Year's Eve celebration will be, markets will be open all day until 4 o'clock on New Year's Eve. So a full day for trading. New Year's Day, the markets are closed. So what we're looking for is continued strength. We're looking for decent earnings, which we know. We've been listening to the show for decades, some of you, and you know that earnings drive the market. So we expect to see some strong earnings continue. We are looking for strong markets. We're looking for at least one more rate cut in the first quarter into the second quarter of next year on the prime rate, which will be good. It's bringing mortgage rates down. It's funny, mortgage rates dropped to about 6.13 right after the rate cut, but they turned tail and ran up to 6 3/8 because of what Chairman Powell said after they decided to lower rates. Pardon me, I've got a scratchy throat today. I apologize. But he's looking at not being so inclined to lower rates next year. Now, remember, he goes out in May. The new one coming in, we don't know who it's going to be. There's several names being bandied about. And all those names tend to lean toward bringing rates down to spur some growth in economic markets. And that will spur growth in economic markets. It makes money less expensive to borrow for those who want to expand the business or the industry that they're a part of. And people for mortgages, we are starting to see housing ease up a little bit, just a little bit, not a lot. We're seeing second homes on the uprise, especially in shore communities. People are buying second homes. What they're doing is they're either using outside monies to do so, or they're taking home equity lines of credit. And with rates coming down, that's going to make those types of loans more more attractive to buyers. So there's a lot of things to be doing before we head out of 2025. And we're going to talk more about that in a minute.
On the tax front, Gene, just wanted to mention, when people talk about, well, if I'm going to sell my house, I'm making a few dollars of, you know, capital gains or ordinary income. Income taxes in the 20th century are at typically a lower ballpark. You're in the lower spectrum historically of income taxes. So for the modern era, the tax rates are staying the same in 2026, which were reduced a few years back. So you're at historically low income tax rates for the moment. That's good news. The bad news is we'll keep our eye on the future. Also, on estate tax, you're not historically in the low spectrum. You're absolutely in the lowest spectrum of modern times. This year, you're allowed to pass away with $13,990,000. Sounds like when you get something at the store, Gene, $13.99 or $13.95.
Right, but they're doing away with the penny now, David.
Yeah, I know that. $13,990,000, no pennies, as Gene said. Next year, it's $15 million. And if you just stay alive, we don't have to worry at all, which is your best estate planning. And then, I like pennies, Gene.
Well, I've got a big collection of them, too.
Yeah, when are they stopping with the pennies? Pretty much presently?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it costs 3.7 cents to produce a 1 cent penny. So it doesn't make financial sense. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah, so you would think they would continue to do it.
But are they going to round up or round down?
I like that. I still like the New Jersey sales tax.
Yeah, right?
6.625.
Ridiculous.
They're supposed to, when I go to the store, I bring those metal clippers, Gene.
No, you don't.
So I clip the penny.
Sure you do.
Yeah, yeah, I'm saving, okay? I'm not rounding up or down. I've got the metal clippers, okay? So the penny I just cut a little out, I put them back together, Gene, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this is terrific. Now, not only will you have the penny not there, New Jersey is a fraction of a penny. Now it'll be a nickel. So they'll have to go to like 6.625018432, okay?
Oh,
and
gosh.
And then you'll round up or down.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's something. It's always keeps us in business, though, doesn't it, Gene?
It keeps us in business. It keeps us going. And, yes, it is crazy.
Well, we always say it like this in the tax world. If you give the politicians more of your money, you'll be better off. Trust them. They told us that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, yeah. So for the holidays, of course, for the new year, because they want to take care of you, Gene, okay?
Sure they do.
Yeah, so when you're driving, you should give them more, okay? That's right.
Mm.
You should give the politicians in Trenton more of your money. You'll be much better off, okay? So what will happen is your gas tax goes up 9% January 1, and the politicians, they're raising the money out of your pocket. Your food prices will go up because the trucks going through the tolls, which go up 3%, the gas tax 9%, they have to pay more. So all your food will go up. Your out-of-pocket direct costs will go up, and you're going to be so much happier next year, Gene. They've told us that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, if your child wants to be an accountant or a tax lawyer, no one's unemployed, because guess what the politicians do? Keep raising taxes, which keeps estate tax lawyers and accountants busy, Gene.
That's for sure. It's funny. I was with a group last night. We had a wine tasting dinner Tuscan wines at Viva Bene, which is really a wonderful new restaurant. It's the former Tre Filios, the former Asagios, but now it's called Viva Bene, and it was incredible. A young couple there. He's just graduate. Well, he's working for a law firm in Philadelphia, and she's with Price Waterhouse in Philadelphia, and they're living in Philadelphia. So they've got a two-story walk-up, and you know, I'm trying to convince them to come down here. We need more accounting work. We need tax and estate attorneys. So we're trying to talk to them about doing so. And the one thing they're thinking about is, well, there's nothing to do in Atlantic City for young people. And I'm thinking, is that what's going to drive your career decision? So it's funny. You know, you think about what's going on and where the opportunities lie. And we certainly have an opportunity to take advantage of, you know, the nightlife in Atlantic City. I don't know how the nightlife in Philadelphia could top what's going on in Atlantic City with all the concerts and shows and things like that. So I don't know.
Sure. Right. And also, Gene, what they could do.
What's that?
Is if they move out of Philadelphia, like as an extra activity, they could count all the money they save. Okay, look at all this money we're saving. We're not paying the Philadelphia wage tax. Just a thought.
The wage tax?
Yeah, because Philadelphia, you pay basically three income taxes. You pay, Pennsylvania has an income tax, and then you have your federal income tax, and then Philadelphia has a wage tax. They have another income tax, basically.
That's
Which
funny.
Is why, guess where all the big companies moved to, Gene? King of Prussia.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Great mall up
so,
there.
And why is that? Because you're out of the Philadelphia wage tax.
Yeah, how about that?
So, well, yeah, just to give you an idea, let's see the latest, looking up the latest rate.
On the wage tax?
Yeah, close. Not quite there yet, but 3.5%, not quite 4%. But Philadelphia takes 3.5% of your money, and if you move 5 minutes out of Philadelphia, you get this. Save 3.5% each year.
Well, you know what, David? So that adds up. You know, it's...
Jeannie, you know that. 3.5% each year, it's automatic. If you wouldn't buy an investment where the fee to manage the mutual fund is 3.5%. That wouldn't happen, correct?
Well, some people still do, but mutual funds are kind of going the way of hen's teeth. You know, there's not... Now
right,
the,
but you typically wouldn't want your investment.
No, exactly.
One of those old to pay 3.5%. Okay.
Exactly.
So I don't want my investment company, a mutual fund, let's say, to charge 3.5%.
Right.
But I'll let the politicians manage my money in Philadelphia and take 3.5%.
Well,
so the estate plan, if you're in Philadelphia, Gene, it's very easy. Ready? Two words: get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I'll have everyone call me on Monday saying we're in Philadelphia, and you know what the answer is? You still need to get out. You can visit, but don't pay the tax. You'll be better off.
Just keep driving through.
That's it. And the gas is, as much as the California is the highest gas tax, and then Pennsylvania, so we're still lower than those two states.
Well, actually, you know, it was interesting. We tend to use a certain brand of gas. Tom and I we like Sunoco gas. And those Sunoco stations in the local area are disappearing. And what we found is that we've been just getting gas on the parkway where they have the Sunoco stations. And I'd looked last night coming home, and gas was $2.99. So, and that's on the parkway, because typically it's generally a few pennies more per gallon on the parkway. But $2.99 on the parkway, so I was happy to see that. And, you know, gas prices are coming down. So, I don't know. The economy is starting to slowly get legs under it here, and that's the good news. Now, the bad news with the gas prices, when does the higher gas tax kick in, David?
Well, that's it.
The automatic rise?
The good news for people is, so it'll be interesting. Someone will say, I didn't realize that, okay? So what will happen is that with gas prices, someone will say, oh, they're ticking back up. No. Oil isn't ticking up. It's done well. Gas prices are coming down.
Mm-hmm.
New Jersey raises the gas tax 9% January 1.
Wow.
So I think what I told you, and probably our listeners might also do, Gene, I get buckets and containers, you know, the kids' thermoses, and I fill those all up with gasoline in December.
No,
so
you
I
don't.
Can save in January.
No, you don't.
Just a thought, okay?
It's a thought, but I'm sure you don't.
Yeah. Yeah, if you see the person at the gas station holding up everyone in line with the thermos, that's the estate lawyer, David Pierre. Yeah, we're saving 9%.
Oh, you're funny.
Yeah, you have to have a little humor with taxes, Gene, you know?
Where you can, yes, where you can.
Well, you know, it's interesting because people will say to me, I didn't know that, okay? Well, because the tax is automatic. They don't have to vote on it in New Jersey. They just automatically increase.
Mm-hmm.
California does the same thing. That's not a good pattern to follow.
No. No, it's crazy.
They automatically increase taxes. And then the big item is your income taxes. You pay more each year in New Jersey because federal income tax rates adjust for inflation. New Jersey does not. So when someone says, I want more money from my employer, from my job interest, well, you'll just give it away once you get it. What do you mean, Mr. Thierman? In New Jersey, at $35,000, because you're a millionaire, your income tax doubles. In New Jersey, at $70,000, your income tax doubles again. So the more you're getting, the more you're giving. That's the holiday spirit.
Yeah, right.
I'm trying, okay? I'm singing the Hanukkah songs, the Christmas songs, and
uh-huh.
In between, there's a little Grinchy taxes, okay?
Yeah, well, why not?
Oh, well, but meanwhile, so Wall Street's had a good year, though, hasn't
it? It's had a tremendous year, yes. It's been very, very strong, and, you know, it's like it's almost across the board. We're seeing bank stocks, the financials have been strong. We're seeing technology just incredibly, incredibly strong. Many different sectors of the technology market, too. It's not just AI and what powers AI, what, you know, the natural resources that are required. So it has been a strong year. We expect it to continue. This is certainly not over. You want to be careful, though. You just don't go off half-cocked and start buying this stock and that stock because it happens to be the headline of the day. You can invest in exchange-traded funds for different sectors of the market. You don't have to go and buy the individual stocks necessarily to take the extra risk if it's not appropriate for you to do so. But it's the time that you should have been sitting down with your financial advisors. You know, we start our year-end reviews the end of August. And just to make sure that we've gotten everybody in the office or at least on a phone call or a Zoom call to just run through things, see what's changed in your life through the year and what's changed with your portfolio, what we need to be doing to offset gains with losses. And you still may have some losses in your fixed income holdings that can be used to offset gains on your equities or your stock trades. So, again, we've still got plenty of time to do this, and I don't know of anybody left at our office that we haven't done this for yet, but we're, you know, nose to the grindstone each and every day. And I guess we'll, shall we tell them the news this weekend, David, or next weekend?
Next weekend, Gene.
Okay. Next weekend. Tune in. We're going to have some news for you. So we'll.
Yeah, it's always good news here.
It's all good news. We only report good news. Even when it's bad, we turn it around.
Yes, that's right. Taxes are going down.
No, they're not.
No, they're not. Okay, well, in the federal government, we're in good shape. It's really like we said, the state.
Yeah. And God only knows what's coming down the pike for us in New Jersey.
That's it. So, you know, for our listeners out there, you've got the next two holiday weeks are sort of here and there. My office, Gene, everyone's taking off a couple days here or there. We're open every day, but everyone's out a couple days, you know, different staffing, different days. And, every other holiday, Gene, every other year we give them off for a holiday.
That's mean. David.
It's sort of like with lunch, you know, like they'll ask for lunch one day, Deb, or Jeannie,
what?
Debbie and Kim. And I'll say, like, didn't you have lunch yesterday? And they want lunch each day, Gene.
Usually they do,
David. Do people in your office get lunch every day?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, we even bring pizzas in.
I'm going to be a little extra nice during the holiday, Gene. They can have lunch every day, okay?
Oh, you're a sport. Are you buying?
Yeah. Well, let's not go there.
Who didn't know that?
Yes. No. I've been very fortunate. The ladies in my office. By the way, I don't see a man all day other than a client. So if you're a man, you're always welcome at the office. A woman also. But everyone in my office are ladies, wonderful ladies, and they're essentially my bosses. I work for them. And if I call over at Gene's office, everyone there is also a lady.
We're
and then
working.
I come home, and my wife, she's a lady, Gene.
Uh-huh. That's right.
Yeah, well, so maybe I see who rules the world.
And it would be a much more orderly place if we did.
It probably would be, Gene.
The old whack with the back of the hand has never hurt anyone.
No, we have a good time. We're always fortunate to be here with you, to be with Holly, Gene M. Isley, David R. Thierman. We enjoy being here with you.
Holly just told me she's
here and there.
She's been here 10 years.
Yes.
10 fun-filled, exciting. Right, Holly?
It never gets boring, that's for sure.
Yeah. That's it.
You ought to see her back there splicing lines together to keep the power on.
Yes, you know, it's she's got the scotch tape, the splicing. We're on the cutting edge of technology.
It's bubble
gum. I ran out of gum.
Yeah, meanwhile, our phone lines are open, Gene.
Yes, they are. We've got about 2 minutes before we have to take a break at the bottom of the hour. But if you want to join us this morning, you've got some tidings of joy to share with our listeners. We'd love to hear from you. And you can do so by just giving us a call. 609-927-1100, 927-1100. Holly, what are your plans for Christmas?
Today, as soon as I finish up here, I have to race home because we are going to Ocean Casino. They have a Santa's Hideaway event that we are doing with Joe's nephews. So we're going to go and take the elevator to the North Pole and go see Santa and then hopefully play a round of golf at Topgolf.
So, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so that's our Christmas plans for today. What's going to happen after that day, I don't even know anymore.
It's like that downhill slide, right? It's all downhill from here.
Everything will be a blur from now until we open our presents under the tree.
That's, you know, it's funny. Tom and I stopped exchanging presents years ago because, you know, thankfully there's nothing we really need. And, you know, you always want things, but do you really need them? And in my planet, in my world, it's all about need, not want. So, because we could want things till the cows come home, but do they make sense? So we stopped. What we do is meals together at restaurants. We love to dine together, and that's what we give as gifts for people. For the few gifts that we do give anymore, is gift certificates for restaurants. So we're going to come back and talk more about giving and gifts and what you do in your household, and we're going to have Eileen on the line when we come back. And welcome back to It's Your Money. I am Jean Isley, founding partner of Anchor Financial, joined by our co-host, David R. Thierman. Good morning, David. And as promised...
Good morning, Jean M. Isley. Good morning, Holly. Good morning to our listeners. We're here for you each and every week. Jean M. Isley, David R. Thierman, Holly, our producer. It's Your Money, and it's our pleasure and our honor to be.
Absolutely. And as promised, we're going to go right to Eileen, who's got a... This is a good question, Eileen. And a lot of people, we address this at least once or twice a week. So it's a common situation. And the question is that you're a single person. Should you add people to your deed? No. Okay. First of all, in red lights, I say no. Go ahead, David.
So let me ask you, and it's Eileen, correct?
Correct, uh-huh.
Yes, it's Eileen.
And the property is in Pennsylvania or New Jersey?
It's in Pennsylvania. I'm leaving, David. First of all, happy holidays and good morning to both
of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, and the same to you, Eileen.
Thank you. So this person, I'm leaving my inheritance to him, and his son is my godson.
Now
he's going to renovate the house in Pennsylvania, and he wants.
I see.
He wants to have the deed. I told him, no, you cannot be on the deed by yourself. I want to be. I can add you to the deed. And when I die, you'll get the house. I think he can avoid probate.
So I'll fill you in. I'll help you out, okay? So the reason Gene gets concerned, and so does David R. Thierman, is once you add someone to the deed, if you're adding them to the deed, we would also want in the deed that you're not just a co-owner, but you have a life estate.
That's you, Eileen.
Life estate, you can't be thrown out. You're there. The danger in adding
estate?
A life estate says I have the right to live in the whole property my whole life, even though I only own a part of it. But the danger here is that something not voluntary, something involuntary happens to him. I add a loved one and a good friend to my deed. My friend gets in a car accident and gets in a lawsuit. They come after his half of the property. I now own a property with the plaintiff that was in the lawsuit. Or he or she gets divorced, the person you put on. Now we have the property in the middle of a divorce. Or they have a bankruptcy problem. The next item is adding someone to a deed. Probate isn't really the problem in Pennsylvania. It's the Pennsylvania inheritance tax. The Pennsylvania inheritance tax, here's how we do it, because we want to be festive. The New Jersey inheritance tax is bad, but it's still better than Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania inheritance tax is worse. So what would happen is, if you and your friend own the property together equally, there would be still not the probate situation, no probate to speak of if you do a joint tenants with right of survivorship. That's not your issue. You have a 15% tax on half the value of the property. So if your property were worth $200,000 in Pennsylvania, you own it with a friend, $100,000 times 15%, there's a $15,000 inheritance tax. So the idea is that I understand someone wants to put money into the property. You would live there. So you want to protect him or her. You also want to protect yourself. The answer is things can be done on the right path, but take it slowly.
David, he's going to renovate and then rent it out. So you're saying this is no good now?
Oh, okay. You're not going to live there?
Are you going to live there, Eileen?
No.
You're never going back to live there?
No, I'm not going to live there.
Okay.
Okay, so one
of the thoughts again. Renovate it and rent it out.
Right? So you're going to become a partner in a rental property.
Excuse me?
So the same idea, if you're a partner in a rental property and he is a tenant that slips on the floor and sues the landlord, you're in a lawsuit. So you want to make sure if you're going into partners in a property that you know what's going on. Are you going to be an equal partner or an unequal partner? Are you going to get some of the revenue? But the idea isn't you're adding someone's name to avoid probate. That's not really a prudent idea. The idea is, David, if someone's putting money in, I want to make him a business partner. That's a whole different aspect and can be done.
This is the point. We're all human, and he can go crazy. I don't want him to be able to sell the house. Yeah, that's why I want to be on the deed. But I wanted
I've
to have
it.
The
well,
house
there's lots
when I
of
die.
Things. Here's what happens. Between us as friends, where do you live, Eileen?
Mays Landing.
Where do you... You're in Mays Landing?
Yes, sir. I'm getting a little confused here with the inheritance. Because
well, here's what
I understand.
Yes. There's,
David, I don't want to interrupt you, but I told...
Right.
Go ahead, Dick.
Taking it slowly, Pennsylvania has a death tax. You also have liability issues. You're going into a business with a friend. Here's the good news. On a radio show that's just an hour, we can't summarize everything that quickly, yeah. although we can talk yeah. pretty quickly. The idea is yeah. you're going to have to step back, and you'll talk to a real estate lawyer before you do this. You'll be A-okay. But, yes, adding someone to your deed, going into business with someone on a rental property is a little involved, but it's done all the time. You'll be A-okay.
You just want to.
I'm not going into business with him. He can.
Okay, Jean, we're gonna. Eileen, I got to stop you. Just because, Eileen, I have to stop you because it's a short hour. You're going to co-own a property, which someone's going to rent out. That is going to business with someone. You're going to be a landlord because you're going to be on the deed. So I got to stop you here because you can always call me at the office, but you're way ahead of yourself. If you're going to co-own a property that's going to be rented out, yes, you're a landlord. Yes, you are in business with someone, but you got to take it slowly. You're going to be A-okay. It's done all the time, but it's a little bit of cross the T, dot the I. Thank you for the call and happy holidays.
Can I call you at the office?
Of course you. That's what lawyers do. People call us at the office.
And are you licensed in Pennsylvania?
I am.
Okay.
Pennsylvania, okay. New Jersey, and Florida. So as long as you don't buy real estate in Ohio, we're good, okay?
Okay.
Eileen,
happy Hanukkah.
You're
going to
be fine. Don't stress.
Eileen, have a wonderful holiday.
What's the number? Thank you. What's the number at the office?
I'm going to give numbers out in just a minute.
All right. Thanks, Angie.
Thank you, Eileen. It's a little complicated, you know. You've got to understand everything that's going to be involved in a situation like this. You've got liability because, number one, you're going to be under construction for the renovation. What if there's a construction accident? Then once it's done, it's renovated, now you've got a tenant, and as David just said, what if somebody slips on the ice and sues the landlord? Now you've got a lawsuit. Should it be owned in an LLC, a limited liability corporation, where you're subject to the assets held within that corporation? Should it be where she just sells it to him outright and says, have a nice day, which may be...
And take a check.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Take a check and just walk away. Or, you know, if she wants him to inherit it, that's a different story altogether. But, you know, you've got real estate law here. You've got estate and tax law here, you've got liability law here. So there's many moving parts. And as David said, Eileen, you know, back up, just take a breath, take a step. It doesn't have to happen immediately. And, you know, let things play out as they should. It's a confusing situation.
Say, Gene, yeah. I was going to say, slow and steady wins the race.
Always.
The idea is to take steps beforehand, not after. Before I'm going to add someone on a deed for our listeners, and we're then going to rent the property out, what happens if something happens to the person, you know, the individual giving it, the person being added on to the deed?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if something happens to a tenant?
Mm-hmm.
What happens if the person you add on to your deed passes away, predeceases you?
Or
you
gets
would
sued.
You have a tax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it would be interesting, mm-hmm. Gene, if you add someone... You add a younger person who then predeceases you. You now pay a Pennsylvania inheritance death tax on a property which you always owned but then just had given to someone because you thought they would outlive you. But if they predecease you, you have a tax. So here's the good news. Everything in life, if you're going to make a big meal for Hanukkah, a big meal for Christmas, there's actually a lot of steps. Everything simple is a little complicated. Am I right?
Absolutely. You just want to.
It's the
you
same
make
way
an,
in business, estate planning. It's the same way with investments.
You just want to make an informed
when you look
decision.
At your investments, like you said, Gene, mutual funds aren't as popular now. There's a different animal or
right.
a different vehicle, and I guess that's what the ETFs, Gene.
Exchange traded funds. Yes, absolutely, and. We've seen some tremendous results in certain sectors of the market with ETFs this year, and we expect, you know, we expect it to carry into next year. So the idea is just be informed about what you're doing. Know what the fees are that are involved in an investment that's being offered to you. There's no, you don't have to be shy about asking what the fees are. I don't care if you've dealt with somebody for 20 years or 20 minutes. You want to know what the costs are. Are they ongoing? Do I pay them every year? You can't deduct them anymore, which is something that they wanted to address this year, but it did not get addressed. So, but just, you know, and especially when you're talking about titling and deeds and property and real estate, there's so many moving parts. Just back up and slow down and make an informed decision. One other thing that I know David and I have talked about, the number of scams that are going around. And I know two people in the last 2 weeks who fell victim to it. And it's sad. It's very sad. 96% of Americans receive at least one scam message per week. 96%. And that's based on a survey that Bank of America did. So, you know, three things to be aware of. Bank imposters, where they'll call you or send you an email. First of all, it's typically you're notified by the mail, not by an email or a phone call. And it just happened to someone very, you know, very close to my family that they wiped out her bank account, his bank account. Luckily, first of all, they never caught him. But luckily, with the insurance, they were reimbursed, but it not without a lot of labor and fear. Fake ticket sales. They're creating websites and social media profiles to sell fake sports and concert tickets. This is a new big one. The investment scams, the get-rich-quick scams. You're not going to get rich quick. You're not going to hit the lottery overnight. You know, you slow and steady, as David just said, wins the race in every case. But these bank imposters, two incidents in the last week that involved banks. And I myself received a phone call from my, it came up as my credit card company's security. And he asked me if I had just placed a $1,500 international gaming bet. Well, I don't gamble, number one, and especially not on my phone, and especially not on an international basis. So I hung up on him, and he called me back, and a 213 area code pops up. So he said to me, why did you hang up on me? And I said to you, I'm out to dinner and I'll call my security company when I get back to the house. Well, I hung up on him again. Calls me back again from the same number. So that night I got home, called my credit card security company and said, I have a phone number. I have a landline number for you. And I gave them the number. And the fella said to me, he says, I'm sorry, Mrs. Isley, but I'm going to tell you now, there's not a thing we can do about this. So they're out there, and they make it seem like you've got to act immediately or you're going to lose all your money. And if you act immediately, if you give them information, they're going to help you straighten out your account. Just hang up on them and call your bank. Hang up on them and call your credit card company, the number on the back of your credit card. We can't be nice anymore. You know, we were raised to be polite to people who call us. You can't be. They've taken that away from us. So don't hesitate.
No one calls me, Gene. The local people, they don't call the lawyer. Other than at the office. At the office, they call me, but that's usually a problem, not asking for money.
It's amazing.
People need some help with the situation. But otherwise, the key is not to have a phone. If you don't have a phone, you can't have a problem.
Well, then you can do that, too. That's a different thing altogether.
Yes.
But
seriously, as we say, want to remind everyone during the week.
Yes.
Because you know the number during the hour, 609-927-1100 for your calls, comments, questions, and all the tough questions, 609-927-1100. Remember the tough questions we like to give to Gene, okay?
Thanks, David. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. It's always the polite thing to do. Gene loves the hard questions in the morning.
I love hard questions.
We're here for you. Easy questions, hard questions. All the questions are interesting to us, to our listeners, so we appreciate when you call 609-927-1100. If you'd like to reach our respective offices, Gina Misley has all the telephone numbers of our offices.
Yes, I do. You can reach David. By the way, his law offices are on New Road in Summers Point. And you can reach him during the week at 609-653-6003. And our office is on New Road in Linwood. You can reach two ways, myanchorteam.com or 609-454-8930. And a couple weeks back, we had talked about how to check out a charity that you may be considering making a donation to. The website to do so, the one that we've used, is called charitynavigator.org, charitynavigator.org. And you can find out information. You want to know how much percent of your dollar actually goes to the work that the charity claims and how much of it goes to overhead. What do they pay their people? You know, remember one of the major charities a decade or two ago was exposed that 16% went to salaries for their key people. So I don't want to be seeing where it's only 84% of my dollar goes right to the charity. And these people were getting seven-figure salaries to run these charities. So I want to know what I'm spending this or what they're spending this money on that I'm considering donating to them. But you want to be donating this year to the key, you know, the charities that you know in your area. Make sure they're 501c3s so you have a deductible contribution. And you want to make sure, like I say, how much of the dollar actually goes to the work of the charity. We've got Rich Barely on the line, David. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Gina, David. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you.
Happy holidays. Happy and healthy to you and your family, Rich Burley.
Thank you. I get those calls quite frequently with these banks and so forth, or not banks, but the scam calls about somebody's tapped into my credit card and all that. And you got to be careful because I was listening to a show on how you answer their questions. Like if they call and they say, is this Rich Barely? And I always say, who's calling?
I do too.
And because if the answer yes, apparently that yes could be misconstrued to other questions, you know, that you're giving them authorization to do something.
You're absolutely correct. So, I'll take it one better. If you see a number come up that you don't recognize, don't answer it. Suppose you had your phone plugged in and it was turned off and you missed the call anyway. Well, if it's important, they're going to leave you a message. If it's someone you know, they're going to leave you a message. Don't answer it. And I'm telling you, the people that fall victim are our seniors. They are the number one spot to go to because the kids don't have any money. Young kids don't have the money that the seniors do. So please, and I've been listening to... Our county prosecutor, Will Reynolds, he's got a tremendous ad on the air recently that talks about looking out, check in with your parents, check in with seniors, check in with your neighbors. Make sure they're okay, you know, and remind them, don't answer the phone. It's the number one way that they get you. Number two way is through email. They don't email you a notification about your account. They'll mail you a letter. And even then, you've got to be careful with that because there's some scams out there. I know certain police, I call them begging calls, but they say that that was a fraud too. So you've got to be so careful. And they're out there. And I mean, it's tens of billions of dollars every year that are lost in scams. And they're overseas.
Yeah, I think that's that's the best way to do it. David, I have a question for you. If a person is participating in a 1031 tax deferred exchange and they exchange the one property or using an intermediary, but they acquire the
right because they don't take control of the money, it goes into the new property exchange.
Can they finance out of that, like borrow money out of the property that they exchanged into right away?
Take an equity access?
In your exchange property, you should be able to borrow money because it's a loan. You're not withdrawing. So I'll have to look it up, Rich, but in general, if you're taking a withdrawal, you're taking capital out of an exchange property, you have an issue. If there's a loan involved, it should not be an issue.
Okay.
It's got to be
that
a legitimate
my question
loan.
Is that if you could borrow money, once the 1031 exchange is completed, my question was, is that if you could borrow money out of that
right,
asset.
Well, you think of it this way, Rich, how someone can refinance, right?
Right.
They can address matters. So if you set it up as a financial loan that's structured correctly, that should be okay.
Okay. I just wanted to know if that could occur.
But, you know, that's in general terms without knowing the details.
Right.
Meanwhile, for our listeners, you know, this time of year, you know, when I look on the islands, I told Gene the other week, I went to Brigantine to visit a client the other week, and I had trouble getting to the client's house because I had to drive around all the construction vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw in Brigantine, which the last 5 or 10 years, it's all changed dramatically, it's caught on, and with the second homes. How are the other islands, Absecon Island and Cape May, how are the beach communities with real estate, and how is offshore for our listeners?
Brigantine, in my opinion, has been undervalued for years. And like you said, people are actually catching on. They got beautiful beaches over there. It's close proximity to gaming or shows in Atlantic City, but yet you're a world apart there. So there's still phenomenal values in there. Atlantic City itself, you know, hopefully that they can clean up their act, paint their roads, and tear down some of the mess. But there's a lot of developments, major developments, that are currently happening in Atlantic City. And, of course, your down beach areas, that's never missed a beat at all. Ocean City's exploding, you know, as normal. But this year, in my opinion, should even be better than this year coming up. I mean, 2026 should be like a tremendous year, I think. I think the rates are going to come down a couple more times. That's going to trigger growth, and the overall economy, I think, should be good as well.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
I mean, every forecast is doing it. I think that Jim down and around the Jersey Shore, Summers Point, it's a mainland community, but it's affordable to quite a few people. It's still the prices have skyrocketed, doubled or more, but it still gives somebody an opportunity to have a house by the shore and not have an entry point of like $1.2-1.3 million.
How are the
like,
property taxes there, Rich?
I'm sorry?
How are the property taxes there?
They're high.
Yeah,
I mean they're much higher than that. That's kind of the equalizer because they're much higher than on the islands. But you know, in reality, I just passed your office, Gene, and I saw those townhomes in Linwood,
$789,000.
Yeah, if they sell them, that's great. But I can't see it. I mean, those taxes are. $900,000 for a townhome.
Uh-huh. I know. I agree. Rich, we've only got about a minute and a half left. I want to wish you and your family.
To remind Rich, yes. And real quickly, Rich, with that 1031, if they're going to take cash out so they don't try to reclassify it as boot, you would have to have a specific or independent business purpose. For example, they take money out to fix up the building they've just acquired through the exchange. Gene, that's it. A real quick tax tip. We're at the end of the hour.
Yes, Rich, Merry Christmas to you and your family.
You too.
Thank you.
You too. Thank you.
David.
Good work in 26.
Pardon me?
Christmas to you and your family.
You too.
Thank you.
Okay. We want to wish you all Happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas. And David and I will be back next weekend. Well, David will be calling us, I'm sure, from sunny, warm Florida as we shiver in our timbers and boots. Holly, Merry Christmas, my friend. Thank you so much for being such a bright light in that production booth every weekend. You're terrific. So have a wonderful holiday, and don't run up a lot of credit card debt, folks. You don't need it. Take a family member to a meal and break bread together, and that's much more appreciated, I think, in the long run than another sweater or a shirt or something else you don't need. Thanks for being there, everyone. Happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and we'll see you back here next weekend for more of It's Your Money. Thanks, Holly.